wouldn't mind staying a little longer, but I married me a wife and can't stay. And she's been very kind to rent me out by the month. But it's time to go home. But it's been so nice being with you. You've been very kind. I'll do my best to preach real good one more time. I'd like to direct your attention to Exodus chapter 3. If you'd like to go there with me, beginning with verse 9. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 9. I will also be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Exodus 3, verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, not just what they like. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. The word is not always. The word is always. Read it. Always. A reality of his presence, always, even unto the end of the world. How's Pharaoh going to let these folks go? I will be with thee. How are we going to reach the world, Jesus? Lo, I am with thee always. I want to talk for a few moments tonight on the subject, armed with a promise.
What I felt for.
All right.
Armed with a promise. Now, Lord, one last time in Stockton, for the name of Jesus, for your glory and yours alone, no personal ego trips involved. No personal aggrandizement involved, just wanting to do something for you one more time. Bless this congregation. They've been so kind, so giving, so sacrificial, so faithful. And bless me and the Word of God. Help me to preach real good. Let your presence kiss our souls. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, I pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm excited.
Oh, yes.
I got to thinking a few moments before service about one of my favorite Bible characters, Moses. I like Moses. And I got to thinking that maybe tonight we needed a 17-minute synopsis of his life, so that we could understand where we be. You know, a lot of times we think that Moses, he had a hard time with the Pharaoh, maybe because he didn't have a lot of faith or because the Pharaoh was mean, but we need to take a realistic view of the job that he had on his hands. Now, he had been 40 years a big deal in Egypt. He left there after bumping off an Egyptian and burying him in the sand. He's 40 years out by Midian being a shepherd boy. That's all he is. He's just a shepherd. Taking care of a bunch of bad bears. That's all he's doing. He's out there just being a shepherd. And all of a sudden, one day, somehow, as if a bush just rolls up in front of him that seems to be on fire, but it's not burned. It's not consumed. And the funny thing is, it's a bush that can talk. I don't know how long it's been since you talked to a bush. But this guy I met went out there in the hot sun somewhere in the Midian land. And he's talking to this bush. And this bush is saying, I'm God. Moses didn't know him. No, he didn't. And lots of us really don't know him until we have a personal meeting with him. We may know about him and know of him, but to know him personally is a big difference. And he starts talking to the bush, and the bush says, I have seen the afflictions of my children, and I have heard their cry, and I'm come down to deliver them. Therefore, I will send you, and I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, please don't brand Pharaoh as an idiot or an obstinate slob. He's a rather intelligent gentleman. He's a rather smart man. What would you do if you owned about 2 million Hebrew slaves and some kook comes walking out of the hot Midian sun and said, I just talked to a bush, and the bush said, let everybody go? That's exactly what he did. He didn't walk in with a choir singing. He didn't walk in with angels doing backflips. He walked in with this ridiculous story. Hey, I was out in the desert during a hot afternoon sun, and a bush told me that he wants you to let everybody go, and you start making the bricks yourself. Isn't that what the Bible says? You're laughing, but that's what it says. And I can just see the Pharaoh jumping up and saying, oh, sure, go ahead. Just pack up your duffel bag and sneakers and just take off, fellas. No problem. And then the Pharaoh gets a little more kind of upset about this old boy with the sunburn and says, by the way, who was the bush? And he said, oh, the bush said he was God. Now, Egypt's got about 3,700. He said, well, what is your God's name? And that must have been a rough one. And Moses said, he ain't got no name. Well, if he ain't got no name, exactly who is it that sent you? He said, well, the bush told me to tell thee that I am sent me. Well, I still didn't see the Pharaoh jump up and start running around and shouting. He's going to lose 2 million slaves. But the thought that's in my mind tonight for this sermon is, I think Moses is a pretty smart character. How in the name of good sense am I going to get the Pharaoh to let 2 million folks go? And God gave him the answer. And lots of people preach he had a magic stick. The stick wasn't the answer. He could put his hand inside his robe. It could become leprous and come out and be healed. That wasn't the answer. He could take the water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground and it would turn to blood. That wasn't the answer. He had 10 miracles to perform in Egypt. The last one bumped off the firstborn that didn't have the blood. That wasn't the answer. The answer was, I will be with thee. I'm giving you a promise of my presence, and my promise of my presence will be your power. And we've got lots of programs in Pentecost, and we've got lots of things we're pulling off, but somehow we need to go back to the original blueprint and say, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We cannot be armed with a bunch of mechanical programs and expect to get the job done. But tonight I want you to know that Jeff Arnold is armed with a promise. Man, I feel like I'm in battle tonight, and I'm armed with a promise. I'll tell you what, that stick did some nice tricks, but the Pharaoh's magicians did tricks too. Brother, sometimes it brought a little consternation to Aaron and Moses. Said, how are we going to do this? They're doing the same stuff we're doing. And somehow the voice from the bush whispered in his mind and said, I will be with thee. And he bust his chest out a little bit, popped two or three buttons, and he walked back into Pharaoh's court armed with a promise. For God said before he ever left the bush, "You will come out of Egypt. Tell him to let my son go. And if he doesn't let my son go, you tell him I'll kill his son." And then he told Moses, "And when I have killed his son, you're not only going to come out of bondage, but you shall worship me at this mountain." He had a promise from God that he said, "I'm going to be with you when you go down. I'm going to be with you through it. And I'm going to be with you when you come out." I want you to know, when God tells you something, his word is indisputable. You've got a promise tonight that he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Woo. Always. That didn't say you're going to feel him always. It just says, "I'm here always." You see, we live so much in the arena of the emotion that unless we can feel something, we don't quite really give vent to absolute, total abandonment of faith. Now, we can feel a few goosebumps moving and a few glory bumps coming up and down your neck. We can almost go, "Yay, God's here." But if you don't feel much of it, you go, "I wonder when he's pulling into town." And everybody said, "Amen." Come on, we're all prone that way. I'm just as bad. I like to preach better when the goosebumps are running from a sock to my head. I just enjoy it better. I like feeling the power of God. But I think God's trying to teach Jeff Arnold something along with a lot of other folks. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never put more on you than you're able to bear. With every test and every trial, I'll make a way of escape." I want the church to know tonight, in 1981, we may not have the program, we may not have the choir, we may not have the best preachers, but we've got a promise. We've got a promise that he said, "I'll be with you through the ups. I'll be with you through the downs. I'll never leave you." Woo! My God in heaven, if that don't excite you, why don't you pray through? To think that even though, Brother Rigdon, I go through lots of days, I don't feel one ounce of God. Now, if you do, it's because you're spiritual. But I don't. But you know what? I got God everywhere I go. I really do. I got him at breakfast. I got him at lunch. I got him working on the car. I got him going through tough times. I got him going when I buried my mom and I buried my dad. I had God. When troubles came to my family, I had God. "Did you feel great, Arnold?" "Oh, no, I felt real bad. I wish I could have felt God right then. It might have made me feel a little better." That's just because my concept is in the emotional arena. But I want you to know, friend, you've got God whether you feel one ounce of God in your soul or not. He is a God of his word, and he said he'd never leave you. And you've got to stop arming yourself with all kinds of foolish thinking and arm yourself with a promise. Brother, that's all Moses had. Do you think a magic stick could meet 5 million Egyptian chariots? Do you think a little leprous hand inside his jacket could impress a bunch of magicians? No, my friend. When his back was up against the Red Sea and the wilderness on the left and the mountains on the right and the dust of Pharaoh's chariots behind him, his magic stick wasn't much. But it's who represented the stick. And that voice spoke to him again from the cloud that morning. I like that. If you read that, I think it's about Exodus 13, somewhere in there. He said that the Lord looked out of the cloud in the morning watch. Here's Pharaoh with his program. A couple of 100,000 chariots coming down, going to wipe out all the Hebrews. And the Bible said, and in the morning watch, God looked out of the cloud. "You better slow down, boys. You're fixing to get wet." And the Bible said that he told Moses, "Stretch forth your rod over the sea, and he caused an east wind to blow all night. Was it the rod that made it divide? No. He had a promise that I'm going to deliver you, and you're never going to see the Egyptians again. Pharaoh said, you don't see my face again, and you'll die. Moses said, you said it right, friend. From this day forward, I'll never see your face again. And they went out of Egypt with a high hand. And when they were trapped by the Red Sea, the promise began to work, for the Spirit of God dipped its mighty hand into the Red Sea, and it opened it up, and the Israelites went across on dry ground, and Pharaoh went to chasing with his program. But the program doesn't have the power of a promise. It doesn't have the power of the promise, because you can't go through the Red Sea unless you've applied the blood to your life. You'll not get through the tribulation. You'll not get through the great sorrows. If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ in your life, you're not going to make it. They went through that Red Sea. The Bible said when they got in the middle of it, it closed back up. And you know what the scripture says next? And when the waters had settled, they saw floating in the Red Sea some dead Egyptians. I guarantee you, every time a dead corpse come bouncing up and down in the water like a bobber. Miriam said, tell you what, baby, that's the promise. You'll see my face no more. I wonder if some of the Jews didn't pick up some of them Egyptians and said, tough time swimming, huh? You might think I'm foolish, but I like to do that, because the devil beats on us all the time. He pushes us down. He makes us to doubt the word of God. And every once in a while, when I win a few skirmishes, I like to just pick his bloody face back up and say, hey, you may have some power, but I've got the promise. You may have some power, but I've got the promise. Nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you, because I'm with you always. Old Gideon goes down to the water hole. And he gets all them guys. He starts out, what do you have? You guys, Bible school, 32,000? Is that what he started out with? I think it was 32,000. And then he ended up with 10,000. And then he finally went to the water. And they got to lapping like dogs. Boy, you talk about a scripture. I think it's Judges 7:7. The poor slob ends up with 300 guys lapping like dogs. I mean, Gideon's looking at an army, 100,000 folk. Well, you can't whip up on 100,000 with 32, but you might win 1-3. And God says you got too many. This guy's got wall-to-wall people. I got 32,000 guys, and some of them ain't even got swords. And then he turned around and told Gideon, boy, this is a bummer. He says, ask everybody that's a scared to go home. And 22 went home. 22,000. Gideon just watched his army just say, see you later, alligator. Keep the biscuits warm for us, fellas. I hope we get home. They looked at God and he said, well, Lord, I guess you just like the odds big, don't you? Well, it's 100,000 to 10,000. That's 10 to 1. Well, we might have a long shot. And then God says, too many. You know what he said? You got too many, because it'll be too much like your program. I want no glory going to your program. Let's go to the water. Boy, if I was a preacher and had a license, I'd like to preach on that a while. Let's go to the water. I want you to know, in 1981, there's lots of folks getting the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. They really are. But the final test ain't going to be talking in tongues. The final separation's going to be the water, friend. It's always been the water. It'll be the water at the coming of the Lord. It'll be those that are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ that's going to make that call of the trumpet. I believe that. He finally ends up with 300 men. Now watch what the Lord says. The Lord looks at the 300 with Gideon and says, okay, with these 300, you're going to whip up on all the Midianites. Sure we are. But here comes the secret. For I shall deliver them into your hands. You know what he walked away with? Just a promise. He didn't go to Ace Hardware, start buying bucklers and shields. In fact, he didn't have too many swords. Just to be on the safe side, he took a pitcher and a candle and a trumpet. Hey, Brother Davis, boy, you can really whip up on a lot of folks with a pitcher. And a trumpet, I guess you're going to either blow retreat or blow victory, one or the other. And he says, put the candle inside the vessel. And he says, now when I give the signal, you break the pitcher. I've often wondered why he broke the pitcher. I know I hear preachers saying, well, he broke the pitcher to make the noise. I don't think so. I know it made noise. You see, he said, get a candle and put it inside the vessel. Watch this. The light has to go inside the vessel. But in order for the light to shine, break the vessel. That's why lots of us don't win more souls. The vessel's not broken. You got the light. Jesus said, I'm the light. But when he left, he said, now you're the light. A light set on a hill cannot be hid. You don't hide it under something. It's time for the United Pentecostal Church to get down to business with God and deny self and break the vessel and let the light of the Holy Ghost shine out into this world so they might see the way. I believe that. Well, he won the battle. You know the story. He won. Because God caused excitement in the camp when the watch was freshly set. And everybody started bumping each other off. Now, I want some scripture here. You boys stick with me here. One more time for Jesus. I want to talk about a friend of mine I love in the Bible. His name is David. Everybody knows about David. David bumped off the giant. That's all anybody remembers about David. Either that or when he committed adultery. Funny how we always remember the best or the worst. Nothing in between. Yeah, you ask any 7-year-old kid, who is Jonah? He said, oh, he's that backslider got swallowed by that fish. We even teach our kids that. Oh, he's that preacher got run away from God, got swallowed by the fish. That's funny. I think he's the greatest preacher in the Old Testament. He preached a one-sentence sermon and 120,000 people went to the altar. You don't hear much about that, though. We're prone to the negative. David whipped up on Goliath, correct? But he was no match for Goliath. Goliath was over 9 foot tall. He had a brass helmet. He had a brass shield. He had brass staves running down his legs. He was a mammoth of a man. And when the sun hit that brass, he looked like a walking chandelier. You just think what 9.5 foot looks like covered in brass in a sunset. And you've been elected. Go take care of Shorty for us. And Saul, who's the biggest in the camp, he's hiding in the tent, backslid. Why? All he's got is a sword and a mechanical play. But here comes this kid, and he's armed not with a sling, with a promise. For Samuel had been to Jesse's house just previously, and he had walked up to little David. And the Spirit of God spoke to Samuel and said, this is he, for he shall be king. And he anointed him with oil, and the Bible said when the oil came down his head, The Spirit of God came on him from that day forward. It's a promise. Thou shalt be king. So David walks on the field, and he's kind of got an ace in the hole in his back pocket. The giant says, I'm fixing to bust your little Jewish brain. And David, without being cocky, says, I don't think so. No. You see this stuff running down my head right here? You thought that's Brill Cream, didn't you? That ain't Brill Cream, Jack. That's holy oil from a holy man of God that symbolized the Holy Spirit's residence. And he said that one day, I shall be king. I want to tell you, friend, we may not win all the skirmishes, but when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you received the Spirit of promise that said one day you're going to be resurrected with him. You may not win all the battles, but you will win the war. Woo! I'm armed tonight with a promise. Oh, I like that. I really do. You pardon me if I feel crazy, but I is crazy. I really am. You look at old Joshua. Old Joshua's walking around that old city, and he just keeps going around Jericho, and the Lord says to him before he ever starts marching, he says, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And wherever the sole of the feet step on, that's yours. Only keep the commandments of the Lord. He says, yes, sir, I'll do it. And then he gives him instructions. He says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to arm up the men, get the trumpets, get the cymbals, and I want you to march around the city. And that city's strong, boy. And they're up on the walls with their archers and their catapults, and they're watching. And here's these crazy Jews. The Bible said, never said a word. You know, you'd win more battles if you kept your mouth shut. That was for free. The Bible said, finally on the seventh day, they go around about six more times. And Joshua gives the signal. I can just see him, just like he got a big baton. Are you ready, brass section? Boy, and then trumpets took off. And everybody's standing up on the wall with their arrows and their spears and their bucklers and their shields and their catapults and their hot molten lava just waiting to pour it on top of everybody. And that trumpet goes, ta-da! And they look and the walls go. And everybody in the whole place falls down and the walls fall outward and they come a-marching in there. You know what they were armed with? They didn't have swords and shields to win the battle. They were armed with a promise. God said, I'm going to give you Jericho. If you just do what I ask you, I'll give you Jericho. You're no match for the world, church, but he'll give you the world if you'll just go forth in his word. All right. See, lots of times we just want to go in his presence. If we feel his presence, somehow we've got a boldness to go. Friend, you've got more than a boldness with the promise of God. He said, lo, I am with you always. I want everybody to say that with me. Always. No, come on. Always. Say it real loud. Always. Lo, I'm with you.
Always.
You believe that?
Yes.
Woo-wee. Friend, if everybody in this place got the Holy Ghost, believes that, there is a potential of power outbreak right about now in this service that'll blow you out of here. Lo, I'm with you always. Lo, I'm with you always. I want to show you something. John chapter 4, verse 46. I'm going as quick as I can, but I ain't in a hurry, Jack. I ain't in a hurry. I want to show you something. This old boy, Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, 13 through 17. The Bible said, and all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and the wives and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Notice that. Not the salvation of the Lord. The salvation of the Lord with you. The salvation of the Lord with you. Don't wait for some outside wind to blow into your life. You've got the wind of the Holy Ghost already inside you. He's with you right now. The scripture says that they didn't do anything. They just stood still and they got the Levites together. Now watch this. In verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now you just think about this, son. Brother, they ain't got but a handful of swords. And they got all these choir guys. Praise ye the Lord! Praise ye the Lord! And you see the whole hillside filled with Moab and Ammon. And they're watching these Jews figuring some kind of strategy. And they're just singing. When's the last time you sang when you walked in to get your brains beat out? Well, praise God. Let's worship in the beauty of holiness. For great is the Lord. Those old Moabites are watching. They're fixing to pull the slick one, fellas. Something wrong here. So they got the chariots over there in the bushes someplace. No chariots, and they just keep marching. And they're marching right towards them. And they're playing them trumpets. And they're hitting them cymbals. Praise ye the Lord. Friend, Moab is going like this. But watch what happens. This is so beautiful. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against their enemies so that they began to fight each other. And there was a bewilderment in the camp, and they began to kill each other. Sometimes we spend too much time worrying about how we're going to win. I already know. I'm just going to praise him. I'm just going to worship him. Moses, how are we getting out of Egypt? I don't know, but we is. David, how are you going to kill a giant? I don't know, but I am. Joshua, how the walls coming down? I don't really know, but I think they're going to fall. Jehoshaphat, how are you? No 16 bugle air is going to bump off a couple of thousand troops. I don't know, but I think my dad will take care of it. What did you go out there to fight with, Jehoshaphat? Just one thing. I was armed with a promise that God said I wouldn't have to fight this battle. He'd fight. Sometimes you gotta fight, and sometimes you gotta stand still. Now listen to me, just another minute and I'm going home and you've been real nice. I want you to read John chapter 4 and verse 46. How am I doing, Rigdon? Pretty good? Not bad, huh? I like him. I'd like to be like you. He's so clean cut. I don't even think he sweats. Oh, hallelujah. We're friends. Read.
So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee.
Watch this. I'm coming
where he
home.
Made the water wine.
Yeah.
And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum.
Nobleman's got a kid that's dying.
When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went up unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death.
Yes.
Then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe.
The only way you believe is to see a sideshow. The only way you take God at his word is you got to feel something. That's what Jesus was saying. Unless I do a little razzmatazz for you, you won't believe me. Read.
The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die.
Come on down. I don't care whether you insult me or not. Come down ere my boy die. Read.
Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth.
Here we're going to get happy right now. Come on.
And the man believed.
And the man believed. And he went home. Brother Smeltzer, he left the presence of God armed with one thing. A promise. Thy son liveth. And on his way home, I think he met every devil that could have ever belched out of hell. You usually do when you step out by faith. And the devil said to him, "Where you been, boy?" I said, "Oh, I've been to see Jesus." "Did you see him, boy?" "Well, I saw him." He just keeps walking. "Did he do a trick for you?" "No, no tricks." Did he raise the dead?" "Nope." "Did he kind of float in the air a little bit?" "Nope." "Did he heal anybody while you were there?" "Nope." "Did he take loaves and make them feed thousands of people?" "Nope." And he keeps walking. An old devil just comes up around another tree and says, "Did he make anybody appear like angels or Moses or Elijah, anything? Did he do anything supernatural?" "Nope." And the devil says, "Then how come you're walking home?" He said, "Well, he told me to." He said, "But he didn't give you any magic bread. He didn't give you any special oil. He didn't give you a prayer cloth. He didn't give you nothing." And old nobleman just smiled and said, "Oh, no, no. I forgot he gave me something. He gave me his word." Brother Rigdon, sometimes that's all we got. Sometimes you ain't got the power just juking in you. Sometimes you can't feel 1 ounce of God. Sometimes you'd like to talk in tongues, and God doesn't let you talk in tongues. There's times when some of us come to these services, we wish the glory of God would come out of the ceiling and just let us shout, run, and have a big time, and God somehow seems to shut up heaven and says no. And you come in here and seem like you're all bound and you can't get free and you can't feel nothing and it's hard to worship. Oh, I wish you could get a hold of yourself and look inside yourself, because before he ever gave you all those extra outside blessings, he gave you a promise. You poor Pentecostals, all you got tonight is his word. Now I think his word is pretty good. Brother, they bumped him off and hung him on Calvary. But before he went to Calvary, he gave those disciples a promise. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it back up again." I want you to know that promise came true. 3 days later, the stone rolled away, and he walked out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he said, "Because I live, ye shall live also. I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth and liveth shall never die." Is that a feeling? No, that's a promise. Hey, Brother Larson, we got a promise. I'm telling you, without embarrassing you, I know you lost your mom and you loved your mama, but I want to tell you something in the spirit. Your mama got the Holy Ghost. Your mama loved God. She's got a promise that when he comes, when the trump sounds, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which shall live and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Woo! If you let your feelings run you, you'll be picking low cotton. I know when I buried my mom and daddy, low cotton. But when you look at death, and then you look at the promise, and you read Paul's letter to the Corinthian church that says, don't you sorrow for them that sleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead shall rise first. I guess I've always had this feeling in my mind that I'd be alive when Jesus came. But the Lord might see fit to take me out in a car accident or if I die of a disease. Well, tough break, Jake. I'll get up before you will. I know we're emotional, but I like it. We used to sing that song, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold This Body Down. Boy, you hit that about three licks, Jack, and your socks is a-moving. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. For when I hear the trumpet, I'm gonna come back out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. I want you to know, I only have a promise. That's all you've got tonight is a promise. But I want you to know that one that made the promise is alive and well. He's alive and well. And he's got all power in heaven and earth. My, my, my. Jesus told that early church, John chapter 14, he said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are not, you know, I've heard people say, Jesus is going away to build me a mansion. That's not what the book says. You read it again. In my Father's house are, present tense, many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I've got marital problems. I've got money problems. Welcome to the club. I've got mental problems. Welcome to the club. I'm under a lot of pressure. There's some sorrow in my family. There's sorrow in my life. Welcome to the club. All I can tell you is put all the negatives on the scale. Let them put it way down to the left. And then at the last moment, take the promise and put it on the scale. And it will outweigh itself. Because I've got a promise tonight. I've got a promise. Sister Haney, I didn't say I got the answer. I don't know what the answer is in sickness. I don't know what the answer is in death and sorrow. I don't know what it is. I don't know how I'm going to pay bills and this. I just don't know how. But I got a promise. And you have to understand, me being so emotional and so kind of kooky is because the man that gave me the promise, he's a strange man. You know anybody else walking on the water? You know anybody else that talks to dead people, dead 4 days, and they come alive? You know anybody else that can forgive sins? You know anybody else, brother, that when they said, behold the man, I see more than a man, friend. All Pilate and the gang saw was a man to crucify. I saw a man to set souls free. I saw a man that was the God-man. I saw the Alpha and the Omega. I saw the beginning and the end. I saw the first and the last. I saw the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, the root and the offspring of David. He that was dead and behold is alive forevermore. Woo! Brother, you talk to a man that dies
and then lives again. Now, that's something. I guess the thing that turns my motor on, something fierce about Jesus, and I'm closing again, is this one thought. Brother Davis, now, I ain't a Bible guy like you, but this is one thing that turns me on. The thing that moves me is when Jesus told those people, when they asked him, "Who are you? And whence art thou?" Jesus answered and said, "I'm the only guy that ever lived before he was born." Now just let it get in your theological brain, and then you'll come loose. You're looking at me saying, "I don't get it." Well, let me try again. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." They said, "Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham?" He said, "Honey, I'm Abraham's daddy." Said, "I put this whole thing together." That's what he said. Now, if you ever find anybody that lived before they were born, I'd like to meet them. You see, Jesus, he's born in Bethlehem, but he's alive before us, the eternal God himself. He was Elohim and El Shaddai. Yes, he was. He was the great I Am of Isaiah 43 and 44 and 45. He said in Isaiah 43, "I am the Lord, beside me there is no God. I am the Savior, there is nobody else." Then he turns around in Revelation 1 and 8 and he said, "I'm the Almighty." Jesus was talking. "I'm Alpha the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Now wait a minute, Isaiah's got a God said, "I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the beginning and I'm the ending." We got one in the New Testament saying, "I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the beginning and I'm the ending." Which one is it? Unless they're both the same. Unless they're both the same. Woo! My. Son, I'm armed. I'm armed tonight. I left my .357 in the holster. I ain't got my shotgun in the cab. I don't have my pea shooter to play around the church with. But I'm armed, I'm telling you. I'm armed, I'm armed, I'm armed tonight with a promise. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Brother, that's something. Well, I'm going to go home right again. You see, I'm armed with hope. He's prepared a place for me. The Bible said in Corinthians, our weapons are not carnal, but they are spiritual, to pulling down of strongholds against everything that exalts itself. What he's trying to say is, ain't nothing mechanical going to get the job done. And I'm all for programs because it's good to have guidelines to work in. But the only thing that makes the machinery run is the oil. That's what gives the smooth run for the lubrication. That's why sometimes in our lives, we kind of clink a little. Clink, 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 clink. I think the oil run a little low. One time I was in a revival, an old lady come up to the altar, and I was told this by the pastor. I said, they were all Italian folks, and she got her husband prayed through the week or two before, and the revival kept going on. She made her husband go back up to the altar, and she's standing behind her and say, "Fill him up, Lord, he leaks." Last scripture, 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 3. Would you stand with me, please? I want you to read one more scripture. You've been so kind. And I'm going to leave you with a thought. Don't worry, I won't turn it into an altar call. But I've learned a secret what made the early apostolic church so dynamic. It comes from Acts chapter 1. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, talking about Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Saying, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. What made them so great? They were partakers of a promise. You see, my friend, you never realized it, maybe, but everyone here tonight with the Holy Ghost, you have really become the partakers of a promise. For Joel said, in the last day, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. You've received the Holy Ghost, you're part of the promise. In fact, you're children of the prophecy. You really are. Read for me, brother. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue.
Come on.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might
wait a minute. Whereby they're given unto us great and exceeding precious promises. And now here's the reason for the promises. Read. That by
these ye might be partakers of the divine nature.
That's why God's given you the promise. So that ye could be partakers of the divine nature of God. We've got a hold of the small end of a big thing. So tomorrow, when this glow is gone, and it will be, because it ain't meant but for the moment. And when you go back to the 8 to 5, and the boss jumps smack in your case, and everything happens to you, and you look around and see, hey, where'd you go, Holy Ghost? Don't keep saying to yourself, oh, I wish we could go back and be at Wednesday night. Wednesday night is just for Wednesday night.
Yes.
But there's something undergirding this Wednesday night, trying to provoke us to think a little clearer, that when it all breaks loose tomorrow, even though you may be crying, brush the tear and say, I am armed with a promise. That's what you got to do. Did everybody understand what I preached tonight? Because it'll be rough time. I'd be a fool to say it'll just all get the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues when that old Jesus comes. It don't work that way. And for you that are here tonight, that you've never been forgiven, I got a promise for you. You see, that this fella that I'm talking about tonight, this Jesus, he is just full of promises. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a promise. And he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find.
Oh, yes.
Knock, shall be opened. And this is what I always liked about that, Brother Smeltzer. He reiterated that a second time and said, for everyone that asketh, receives. Mm-hmm. And everyone that seeks, they find.
Yes.
And to everyone that knocks, it is open.
Oh, yeah.
Last promise. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Ah, what a promise. What a promise. So you that have the Holy Ghost, go away with your promise tonight. But you that might be here that you haven't received the promise of the Spirit, or you need a refreshing, or you got some habits in your life that you need to overcome, if you'd like to, I'd love for you to come pray. If you want to, come pray. We don't need no choir. We don't need no singing. You've had enough preaching to save the universe. If anybody here wants to come pray, you can pray. Well, I guess I preach to the walls. Tell you what I'll do. I'll give you one last chance.
And he bought me.
Sing.
With his redeeming.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
And he loved me.
He loved me.
I knew him. And oh my Ooh. Love. Oh, it is to him.
Oh, he plunged me
to victory.
To victory. Everybody sing, oh, victory.
In
Jesus,
my Savior is forever.
Hey, Brother Herod. Hey, Brother Herod. You got a promise. Train him up in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart. He'll come back. I believe that promise. He loved me and I knew him. Oh, all my love.
Oh, it is to him.
Oh, it's to him.
Yes, he plunged me.
He plunged me.
To victory.
To victory.